This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. I'm Bernice Ross, the CEO of RealEstateCoach.com. And today, Miranda Newman joins us for a very, very important topic called How Secure is Your Mobile Device? Miranda has a lot of years of experience working in the field of data security. So she's going to be sharing a lot of best practices on what you need to do to keep your phone and your other mobile devices safe, as well as to protect your data and that of your clients. So welcome, Miranda. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Miranda, the first question I have for you is, how do I know if my device is safe? Is it something that's in the device itself, or is it more an issue that has to do with how I use my device?
Well, Bernice, really the issue is data security and the practice of defending the information that's on your phone from unauthorized access, misuse, manipulation, and those sort of things. Knowing if your device is safe is sort of two-pronged. It's knowing what data you have on there and keeping that safe and protecting it from overshare or unauthorized use or access. And also knowing when you go to download apps or go to different sites, understanding whether or not they're reputable and not exposing yourself to undue risk by downloading things that you're not aware of where the source is or who's created them and those sort of things.
Well, you know, you raised a really great point on that because Nintendo came up with Pokemon Go, and this has been hugely adopted, and there was a flaw. And here you've got a reputable developer. There's a flaw in the actual software itself that gives essentially full access to the phone, and it wasn't intentional, but nevertheless, you know, hundreds of thousands of people shared their data and their data from other people that are in their phone without their permission. As a realtor, if you're playing Pokemon Go, you may have shared all of your client's personal data, anything that was on your mobile device. So that's a huge risk that, you know, we're just dealing with. The question becomes, how do we go about coping with it when even someone like Nintendo, who cares about mobile security, has an issue? Is there anything we can do?
Well, yes. I mean, you raise a good point because I think we get so caught up in worrying about the malicious threat that sometimes we forget that there are unintended threats. As you said, Nintendo is very reputable, and they developed this code, and I'm sure that they did it with the best of intentions, and now they're going back, and they're trying to correct that. But as you said, the data is already out there. So really the point is understanding those threats, understanding that you are your own IT department, your own security department, as it were, when it comes to your mobile device. So you have to implement the safeguards necessary to protect yourself, because there's not somebody else that's going to be doing that for you.
Oh, so now, in addition to being a realtor, I have to be a mobile security expert for my own phone. Okay. Yeah, that's kind of the truth of the matter, though. So if I'm downloading apps, how do I know if an app is safe or not?
Well, there's no absolute secure way to know if the app is safe, but there are a few good things that you can do to protect yourself. First of all, you only want to download apps from reputable sources like iTunes or the Play Store, because those reputable sources do some initial checks to ensure that it's not a malicious app. It's not a 100% guarantee that it's safe, but it is one step in the process. Also, you want to read the user reviews, see what other people are saying about this app. If they've had a problem with it, they're going to put it in the user review, and you'll see that before you even attempt to download it. Also, check out the developers, your reputable developers like Nintendo, and if you're going for games, King and things like that, or pretty well known. Again, it's not an absolute guarantee, but they're safer because they have larger resources to develop more secure applications. Of course, install a mobile security app that does malware and virus detection so that if you do overlook something, hopefully that software will catch it.
Do you have any particular examples of a mobile security app that you've seen out there?
I like McAfee. It's one that you can use on Apple, on a PC, on a iPhone and on an Android device. So if you've got multiple platforms that you're using, you can just buy this one application and it'll install across all of them. There are other ones out there like Symantec and Apple.
Like Norton Antivirus is something that I use when I was running Windows. In addition to risk from apps, what other kinds of threats are out there?
Obviously, there's the malware and the viruses. One of the more recent ones is ransomware. What ransomware is it's basically it's malware that comes in and it takes over your device and it holds it hostage until you pay some fee, say $500 or $1,000, for the hacker to release that data back to you. It initially started out in large businesses and they just went for large data, but it has advanced to the point where people are hackers. Are taking over mobile devices. An interesting threat with that is it has been introduced into business networks when people bring their mobile phone into their business or their company and use the Wi-Fi. I don't know that it's a common problem, but it just goes to show that these threats are advancing. They're getting more and more complicated. They're harder to detect, obviously.
So what you're saying is, say I'm working for Keller Williams. There's 130,000 people at that company. And I go to a Wi-Fi spot, and I get one of these ransomwares. I could have actually brought that back into if I used the Keller Williams software at the same time I was at this coffee shop or wherever I picked this thing up at. I could actually be bringing that into their entire network. Is that a correct statement?
You could potentially if the virus or malware or ransomware was written to do that, it can migrate across platforms.
So my choice of using a Wi-Fi hotspot could actually expose my broker as well as my clients to these ransomware threats, and I wouldn't even know about it necessarily. And that brings to mind, how do I keep my credit card information and my other financial information, especially my clients' information, safe on my mobile devices?
The first thing you can do is to only do sensitive business and banking and business, those kind of things, on a secure network. Most of your cellular providers have a secure network. Your office network is going to be secure. Wi-Fi hotspots are typically not secure networks. Want to avoid conducting any sensitive business on those. The reason being that if it's unprotected, the data you transmit, your username and password, can be intercepted by hackers.
So what you're saying then, so if I want to do my banking, I don't want to do it at a Wi-Fi hotspot. What if I'm at a hotel or something like that? Is it safe to do that? I mean, that's probably a little bit more secure, but what's your recommendation on that?
I would say proceed with caution. I mean, sometimes when you're traveling, you have to conduct sensitive business, but understand that these large hotel chains are vulnerable because they are targets. Hackers know that you've got business people conducting sensitive business on the hotel Wi-Fi, and so they're going to target that Wi-Fi. Hopefully, the hotel has better cybersecurity practices, but that's not a guaranteed thing either. So I would say if you can avoid it, avoid it.
So I was at the Hilton for Real Estate Connect, and say that I needed to do a deposit or I need to do some banking. Am I better off to go through my phone's like 4G system and to do it on the cellular network as opposed to using the hotel Wi-Fi? Is the cellular connection more secure?
The cellular connection is more secure.
So I'm better off on just go across the regular 4G network, say on my phone to do anything I have to do, as opposed to getting on the Wi-Fi network if it's not secure.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great suggestion. Thank you. And that's a really important one. I hadn't thought about that before. You know, we've been talking about how to judge what's safe out there. You know, we know the cellular carriers are probably better than the Wi-Fi hotspots. What else can I do to protect myself?
Well, you know, it's really a multi-layered, multifaceted approach, and that's because the technology changes very quickly, and that's also because everybody uses their devices differently. So there is no one-size-fits-all solution. It's best to start first, know the risks, understand what threats are out there, that you have the malware and the viruses and, you know, the old adage of don't download anything from an email that you don't recognize kind of applies across the board. Just don't download anything you don't recognize.
And if they tell you the IRS is going to sue you, you know what's fake. At least they're not going to notify you via email.
That is true. That is true, exactly. Starts with knowing what the threats are and then also taking stock of the data that you collect and retain. And, you know, protecting your clients is important. And if you're retaining client data unnecessarily, that's not a good practice. If you have information on your clients that you don't need, get rid of it. Likewise, if you have your own personal information stored on your device that you don't necessarily need, don't store it there. You want to minimize the way and the means to access your device. So that means using your PIN lock on your screen, using strong passwords, changing those passwords frequently, and using passwords that you remember so that you're not storing them in plain text or writing them down somewhere.
So you had a strategy that you use for your passwords. Could you share that with our listeners, please?
I categorize my passwords based on how secure I want them to be. So if I'm doing highly secure stuff like banking, I make sure that it's special characters, numbers, capitalization, at least 8 characters. I change it frequently. And if it's something more innocuous, like a newspaper subscription where I don't have any real private information that I'm too worried about, then I make it a simpler password that's easy to remember. In all cases, you want it to be something that you can remember. Use a code that reminds you of what your password is, but is not your password. That's a good system to use. Avoid writing down your password because that can be intercepted. Mac has a thing called Keychain. I think McAfee also offers a similar thing where you can store your passwords encrypted.
It just dawned on me that, if someone got my laptop where I've got all these logins that all I have to do is log into my laptop or turn it on and bam, they could go click on something and my passwords are already coming up on Chrome. Maybe I need to stop doing that. What's your take on that?
Yes, that's one of those things about understanding how you use your device. So a lot of the times the data that we have on our device is driven by how we do it and what applications we use. So we use Chrome on our laptop and then we also use Chrome on our phone. And those passwords are saved in Chrome, so they're saved across platform. It's not just giving access to what is on your laptop. It's giving access to what's on your phone because they're shared. As if it's a site you're not worried about, fine. If it's your bank, absolutely tell it never to save those passwords. Your email address, at least your business email address password, I would say absolutely never share that because potentially if somebody... let's say you're at the coffee shop and you set your phone down to pay for your coffee and you walk away and somebody picks up your phone. It hasn't timed out. Now they now have access to all your browsing data, all your email addresses and contacts, and all those passwords to get to those accounts. So all your client data is now exposed. But if you force a login or don't save those passwords, those kind of things, you can avoid that.
Do you have another strategy for dealing with email issues when you have to, a lot of sites require you to register? How do you handle that?
What I do is I have a separate account that is email account that's absolutely unrelated to anything that I do, and I use it strictly for registering with those companies so they don't have any access and do my other account information.
I actually have 2 different accounts I use for that. My Gmail account, I can get rid of subscriptions and other kinds of things because I know certain people are going to subscribe me to their list. I use a tool called unroll.me. That is an extension for Gmail. And the other side, I just have something over, I just have a Hotmail address for, I'm going out to, I want something off a site that to me looks pretty dicey. Mm-hmm. So I have an entirely different thing and I don't care anything that goes, nothing of interest or important goes over there. That's only, that side I just, if there's any possibility of it being spam, it's going to be on that and it just, I don't care. To kind of sum up, we want to be using our antivirus malware detection. We want to make sure that we're using a password protection when we sign into our phone. Want to be aware that there is ransomware, so stay off the Wi-Fi hotspots. Any other best practices just to kind of sum up here?
Really, it comes down to due diligence. We get really busy in our everyday lives, and we get very accustomed to just doing what we need to do to get the task done. But understand that there is malicious code out there, and even if it's not malicious, it's vulnerable to hackers in some way just because it was poorly written, like Pokemon Go. So do your due diligence. Take that 30 seconds to say, is this a reputable source? Do I recognize the site? Do I really need this application? What sharing does it require? If it wants too much information, do I actually need it? Maybe I don't need it. Maybe there's something else out there that's available that I can use that protects me and my data better. So I think that really is the big takeaway, is to understand that it's a multi-layer approach. There's no one size-fits-all solution, and it really takes you to self-police and be aware of what's going on with your device, how you're using it, and what the threats are that are out there.
Thank you, Miranda. We've been sharing with Miranda Newman. She's an attorney at the Lotus Law Center, and she's been giving us some excellent tips on how to make our mobile devices more secure. Thank you for being with us today, Miranda.
Thank you again for having me.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for Inman Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Make it a great day.